नौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरि Friends, I think it a great privilege to discuss the scriptures in this holy place, the temple. We are discussing on the Yoga Sutras. The Yoga Sutra has been taught by no less than the Lord Himself. Patanjali, who was the incarnation of Shesha, he taught the Yoga to humanity. So it is very apt that we have a chance to speak on that at this holy place. So far we have discussed the main points, and today, within the short time of 1 hour, I would try to explain the objects of our meditation. We have discussed the necessity of an object, that once we try to concentrate our mind, we should have an object for concentration. And there are varieties of objects being offered by Patanjali. Considering the varieties of fitness we have in us, it is not true that all of us have the same aptitude and ability. Therefore, varieties of ways should be prescribed to us so that we can find out whichever is suitable for us. As I have already told, that there are 8 such objects offered by Patanjali, 8 objects which are called holy objects. First thing, it is almost like objectless, but still there is something that can be called. But the target is the varieties of vrittis or modifications that is happening in our mind, which are contradictory to concentration. So these targets also can be taken as an object, which are detrimental to our spiritual interest in meditation. So the first one, as I have already discussed, is abhyasa vairagya abhyam tan nirodha yoga citta vritti nirodha, to reduce slowly the modification and finally bringing an end to all the modifications. We need a continuous, rigorous practice. As soon as any thought which is detrimental to our spiritual interest arises in our mind, we have to strike it down. So that is that has to be formed into a practice, abhyasa. We have to be always alert and careful that no such thought is allowed to sneak into our citadel where we are installing the sanctity and holiness of the object. In other words, that we have to be always watchful that we are not being polluted, our efforts are not being undermined, or our efforts are not being harmed in that way. So this is what is called abhyasa, and vairagya, we have to be so much dispassionate to these thoughts that we won't feel any compassion for them. Mercilessly we have to strike these thoughts down. That is a very long and tedious process, and sometimes that seems to be very difficult for people who have just ordinary kind of eligibility or fitness. Therefore, it is necessary that we should try to find something easier for people who are not able to follow this very rigorous routine of watchfulness. Then Patanjali, as it is always with the great teachers, felt compassionate and he offered the golden means for that. And that is the next alternative, which is called Ishvara Pranidhanatva. Or take the alternative as an object which is the Lord Himself, Ishvara. Ishvara is not just any name. Ishvara is a generic term. Here it is not said that Ishvara means Lord Jagannath, or Ishvara means any god as such, Krishna, Rama. But Ishvara is the Creator Lord. But here, according to the Yoga Sutra, very technically speaking, Ishvara is an enlightened being who is in charge of this cycle of this creation. He may not be creator, but he is in charge of this creation. So he oversees this creation. Shankaracharya explains the idea of Ishvara. Ishvara is the inner controller. In the Isha Upanishad, Shankara mentions that Isha, Ishita Parameshvara Paramatma Sarvasya, Shankara says, who controls everyone from within. Because in us there is the spark of the Divine Self, and that is the controller. Suppose a dog may bite a human being, but the human being cannot bite the dog in return. This is not possible. Why? Because something within us holds us back, that is below our dignity, below our dignity. We cannot behave like animals. So this is the self which is within us, which holds us back, and therefore it controls from within. So it is the controller, inner controller. The other name for this, Antaryami. Antaryami means who controls from within ourselves. So Ishvara Pranidhanatva, or by means of offering the fruits of all our actions to the Lord. Ishvara Pranidhana. Pranidhana means offering the fruit of our actions. So Ishvara to the Lord. So Ishvara Pranidhana. Or by means of offering the fruits of our actions to the Lord. And this Lord is not somewhere sitting on the clouds or somewhere in the heavens. But this Lord is our very being. We have the spark of that divinity in us. And this Lord controls us from within. Therefore, He is called Ishvara. So Shankara's commentary goes like this. Ishvara means Ishita, Parameshwara, Paramatma, Sarvasya, Sahi, Sarvam, Ishte, Sarvajantunam, Atma, San. He controls everyone because He is the Atman, the Self of everybody, every one of us. Therefore, He controls from within. So, we have to recognize that Ishvara as an object of our meditation. So, concentrating on such an object will be helpful because our mind will be filled with godly thoughts. Throughout the day, we have been thinking and thinking and thinking. There is no end to thoughts in our life. But those thoughts, most of them, are not helpful in our life because they are concerned with matter and people. They are concerned with matter and people. They say, when a few people gather together,
keep it in pocket, man.
They say, no, it is gone. Batteries.
Do we have
extra? No, then we leave it. So they say, when we gather together, a few people gather together, we start discussing. And most of the time we start discussing problems. And problems of a very, very material nature. Our discussion most of the time is concerned with things and persons. They say, when people discuss persons, then those minds are small minds. Small minds only discuss persons, and greater minds discuss ideas. So in most of the cases we will see, when we meet together, we either discuss a thing or discuss persons, and we prove ourselves to be at the very, very ordinary level. That being the case, we would surely like to improve our condition. We would surely like that our state of the mind changes. And then what is the way? The way is either to discuss ideas or to discuss godliness or holiness, or to discuss the spirit. Ideas which are benevolent. If we discuss those ideas, then our mind will be purified. Mind will be filled with good thoughts. And the best of thoughts are nothing but the thoughts of the Lord, of our own Creator, of the Divine, or of holiness. When we fill our mind with holiness, then unholy thoughts will not get any space to raise their head. Therefore, the first idea that we should strike down all the bad thoughts as soon as they appear is also in a way fulfilled in this case, that as soon as the mind is filled with good thoughts, there won't be any space left for bad thoughts to appear. So the same work is being done, but in a different way, in a different way. Now, this being the case, Patanjali wants to be more specific about this idea of meditation on any divine being or divinity. He says, if you do not know what God is, then I give you a clue. Tasya vachakaha pranavaha. The representative word or symbol for this God or Ishvara is Omkara, pranavaha. Pranava means Omkara. Omkara has a figure. It is a monosyllabled word. It is not a letter, it is a word. A, U, Ma, these three words represent the whole gamut of our articulation of sound. When we try to speak something, the sound starts from the guttural position here and travels through our palate and ends up with the lips. So the guttural A then proceeds to the palate, which takes the form of U, and then comes out and ends with Ma, with the lips. So, guttural, palatal and labial. So, these three places, they represent the whole gamut of articulation of our sound. So, in the beginning of the creation, according to most of the Indian philosophical texts, the sound came into being. Sound was the first creation. And from the sound, other thing emanated. So, according to physics, the sound is called bang. According to Vedanta and Yoga and other Indian philosophies, this sound is known as Om. So this Om is the first manifestation of that power which is called Ishvara or Godhead. They use the word Godhead. Therefore, if we take this name, then we take the name of the Lord. A name and the person so named are surely non-different. We are known by our names, and when someone calls out by my name, I respond. The same is the case here. When we take the name of the Lord, then it is directed to the Lord, and Lord answers, or He responds, or the Lord responds to our prayer, to our calling. Therefore, they say, take the name of the Lord, that is the easiest. So, tajjapas tadartha bhavanam. The next aphorism says, tajjapaha, do the japa, repetition of that name, but do not just go on mechanically repeating the mantra. Try to understand the meaning behind this mantra. Suppose we take up this Omkara, what is the meaning behind this Omkara? The Mandukya Upanishad says, A, U, Ma, they represent the three states of a being. Three states, Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. Jagrat means waking state, Swapna means dream state, and Sushupti is dreamless sleep, means deep sleep. These three things, they belong to this world. Therefore, manifestation of the sound is very much phenomenal. There is nothing transcendental, but they lead to transcendental experiences. With the help of the phenomenal objects, we can reach the transcendental goal, That is the samambunam of this teaching. So, tad japas tadartha bhavanam. Go on repeating the name, either Omkara or any holy name, which are known as mantras. Go on repeating them, but with their meaning. Do not just do it as words. Omkara can also be a word, but here it is called a mantra because mananatrayate iti mantra. When we go on contemplating on this, then only it saves us. So mananatrayate, not japat. Here it is not said that it will save us if we repeat the word, but the idea is if we contemplate on the meaning of the mantra, then only the mantra has the power to save us. Therefore, this first alternative and the second of the methods is that prayer or meditation on the mantra or figure of the Lord. Omkara has its own figure. It is written in a special style, and that is the symbol of Omkara. So we can meditate on the symbol of Omkara or take the name of Omkara, go on repeating it, but at the same time, every time, either with the figure or with the name, we have to think of the meaning of it. Then only it is effective, otherwise not. So, number two, means the second method is like this. If you read the Yoga Sutras and the commentaries, they have further elaborated upon these ideas. The third one is very famous, and that is taken up as one of the physical exercises. But they have also the power to reduce the modifications of the mind, finally bringing the mind into a state where it will not have further efficacy or further effectiveness to bring out new bad thoughts. Means the mind has become completely pure. So this third one is called pranayama, prachardana vidharanabhyam va pranasya. That is the aphorism. Prachardana vidharanabhyam va pranasya. Now when we talk about pranayama, just I would remind you or request you to read the explanation given by Swami Vivekananda on this word prana itself. Prana ayama, controlling the prana, vital force, not exactly controlling our breathing. It is not exactly that. By controlling the breathing, we control the vital force, and then there is harmonious flow of the force or vital force throughout the body. The idea here of pranayama, generally speaking, our idea of pranayama is that we breathe in, breathe out. So, the whole idea of pranayama consisted of four stages. First, to breathe in, then to hold the breath within, then to breathe out, and hold the breath without, outside. So breathing in, holding the breath, breathing out, holding the breath. This is what is known as whole pranayama. But it has its variances. So sometimes people teach just to breathe in and breathe out, which is known as sukha pranayama. Or to breathe in deeply, hold the breath and breathe out exhaustively. This is what is known as Nadi Shuddhi. Like that, varieties of pranayamas have been prescribed. But here, the idea of pranayama is not to do some physical benefit. physical benefit is just the outcome of it, not a byproduct. It is a byproduct, not exactly the purpose or goal of pranayama. Any physical benefit which we derive out of pranayama, that is just a byproduct. But the main purpose of pranayama is to control the vital force in our body. And sometimes they speak about making the humor harmonious, humors in our body harmonious, like vayu, pitta, kapha. These three forces, they become harmonious. So here Patanjali mentions pranayama, and it is a little bit different. The way Patanjali said, prachardana vidharana bhyam va pranasya. So prachardana means you breathe out, and vidharana means you hold it back there, do not breathe in further. So breathing in and holding within, this has not been mentioned here. Patanjali says prachardana, you breathe out, and vidharana, you hold it there outside, do not breathe in further. Va pranasya. So why does he mention this? Because in most of the cases, our stress or our importance we give is on breathing in and holding within. Puraka kumbhaka. Most of the time we give more importance to this two. But Patanjali says that breathing in and holding within, that is very, very natural for anyone. We can do it. We need not be so much careful about it. But we should be careful about how we breathe out and what we breathe out. How we breathe out and what we breathe out. Breathing in, we just breathe in air. No. Patanjali says, don't breathe in air, that is normal. When you are breathing in air only. There is nothing special about it. But be special about it, then only pranayama becomes a means to spiritual realization. Otherwise, pranayama is very much physical and a bodily effort. Therefore, Patanjali says, when you are breathing out, think Omkara. Breathe in Omkara. Suppose you count 8 when you are breathing in. Count Omkara 8 times. Not air or not time, but Omkara. So we are breathing in Omkara 8 times and holding it back within, suppose, 16 times. But then again thinking of Omkara. And when we are breathing out, we breathe out all our impurities which has been there in our mind, and slowly, slowly with practice we breathe out Omkara only. So this should be a process of spiritual attainment, not anything physical. Therefore, then only this system of pranayama will help us to achieve our spiritual goal. Yoga Sutra is a spiritual literature which will give us realization. It is not meant for any other purpose. It is a philosophy, of course, but this philosophy gives us information about our realization. So, Yoga Sutra, in the Yoga Sutra, whatever methods have been prescribed, they are prescribed for our spiritual benefit. And if we argue, but we get material benefits also, even our physical benefits also, then the answer is yes, they are byproducts, but they are not the goal or the purpose. Suppose a steel plant produces steel, but in the course of this, they have some byproducts which have also market value. But these byproducts are not the goal of the steel plant. The goal is to produce steel. Similarly, all these methods which have been prescribed in the Yoga Sutras, they are directed towards a spiritual realization. not for any other purpose. So if we misplace the goal, then we go out of the main path and then branch out to some other direction, not to spiritual realization. This is the third one, that pranayama. So first one is abhyasa vairagya, abhyasa, continuous practice to strike down all the bad thoughts and to dispassionately. Second one is prayer, or taking the name of the Lord, prayer to the Lord, Ishvara Pranidhana. And third one is prachadana vidharana abhyam va pranasya, pranayama. Now the fourth one is Patanjali makes it a little bit more clear there, but I think and I believe that is just by the way, it is not very important. The fourth one, he says, Vishayavati va pravritti rutpanna smriti nibandhani. Vishayavati. Suppose I want to hear sound at a long distance, then what should I do? The object of our concentration should be my eardrum. Similarly, if I want to smell good fragrance of a divine nature, then I would concentrate on the tip of my nose. If I want to have the vision of gods and goddesses, then I would try to concentrate on the palate. Like that, all this Vishayavati means we will attain things of this material world. Everything, whatever, even the vision of the gods and goddesses, they come under the material world because they live in the lokas. Lokas, suppose Bhurloka, Swargaloka, then Brahmaloka. These lokas are nothing but phenomenal worlds. They are of a higher nature only, but they are within the phenomenal world. The word loka itself means lukyate bhujyate iti loka. Wherever we have the occasion and opportunity to enjoy bhoga, that is what is called loka. So there may be a different kind of bhoga, like when we are smelling something, concentrating on the tip of the nose, that is also a kind of bhoga. So it is Vishayavati. It produces Vishaya. Vishaya means material things. But Manasa Smriti Nibandhani, it gives the mind enough strength and courage and inspiration to follow our path progressively. When I concentrate on the eardrum and I am able to hear a sound at a long distance, then it gives us enough courage. Yes, it is possible, and this type of path is effective. That way, these things can be objects of meditation, like the eardrum, tip of the nose, but they are not actually very much necessary. But Patanjali gives this to give us some encouragement. People who do not find a faith in such paths, do not think that this is worthwhile, for them to test whether it is worthwhile or not, these things have been said. You practice it for some time, then you will gain some result. Though the result is material, but it will then encourage you to take up further difficult paths in spiritual life. Therefore, these have their own effect, but they are not the ultimate. So the fourth one is not very important. Vishayavati va pravritti rutpanna manasa smriti nibandhani. Then the fifth one is really, really very good. We have already discussed on that vishokava jyotishmati. Vishokava jyotishmati. Vishoka means there is no shoka. Shoka means affliction. There is no suffering. And according to Buddhism, as you know, that Buddha mentions that this world is nothing but dukkham. Dukkham, dukkham, sarvam dukkham, he says. This world is full of dukkham. And therefore, our purpose is to get out of this suffering. And here Patanjali says Vishoka. This meditation is called Vishoka meditation because it will lead us to bliss of God out of the afflictions in this world. Out of the afflictions we experience in this world, the path leads us to the bliss of God. Jyotismati. Jyotismati means full of light. Jyoti means light. So this meditation is called Jyotismati, and it leads us out of the afflictions in this world and takes us to the bliss of the Lord. So Vishoka directly means afflictions, no affliction, and that means no, there is no suffering means what? There is bliss or happiness. So it leads to happiness. So this is a kind where we are meditating on light. Suppose we are meditating on light with this idea that this light removes ignorance. And when the ignorance is gone, then the mind has become pure. And when the mind has become pure, then it reflects the bliss of the Lord, which is there within us. So this is one of the alternatives. Vishokava Jyotishmati. Then the next one is Vitaraga Vishayam Vachittam. Or another alternative is think on the heart of a person. Swami Vivekananda said, if you want to be bold, then think, meditate on the heart of a lion. Lion is so bold. We have experienced this. If someone is facing a wild mob, and you are standing by that person, and this man is very bold to face this mob, you automatically get that strength within yourself. You see how a man is fighting, and you get that strength, you imbibe that strength. Similarly, Vitaraga Vishayam Vachittam, if we go to holy company, which is known as satsang in our tradition, then the effect is that the goodness in others will surely affect us, not only influence us, but affects us. We will be given enough time to rethink on our bad habits and also on our bad qualities. So, if we meditate on the heart of a great personality who is free from these things like raga, raga means attachment. Attachment means attachment to things which are obstructions in our spiritual life. So these people, they have practiced that and their hearts became pure. And when we meditate on their hearts, Vitaraga Vishayam, then we will imbibe that spirit. And it is a great help, immediate help. So take up any saint or sage, anyone, even incarnations of God, as Swami Vivekananda also prescribes. One of the great objects of meditation can be any incarnation of God, because they have a great life to emulate, and from which we will learn how to lead a spiritual life in spite of the fact that we are born as puny human beings with all sorts of difficulties and defects in us. So all these things are there in us, but these great men, they will inspire us by their examples that in spite of all these difficulties and defects, it is possible for us to overcome them and realize the truth. Therefore, this spirit has to be imbibed, and if we meditate on these personalities, on their heart, then we will be successful in our way, because by some unknown method, this will be possible that those qualities will come in us. And as I have said, that if we live with a very strong person, physically strong person, we will slowly start feeling physically strong because of that influence. It always helps us. And after that nidra, swapna, nidra
jnana alambanam. Swapna nidra jnana alambanam. Suppose in my our dream we have seen a great being, we have seen a god, or we have seen a great person, and that created, or we have even seen a nice incident where it was full of bliss, and that created an impact on our mind. So when we wake up, then that continues there. So we have a feeling of what a peace could be, what bliss could be. We have that feeling in us, and the mind is still filled with that idea. Then catch hold of that idea and keep on concentrating on that. Therefore, sometimes our teachers say that if you do not have any object to meditate on, or if you do not like to meditate on any object, sometimes we are very arrogant, and most of the time we are egoistic because we are ignorant. Therefore, we don't like to take up any object or ideal which are available, like a great personality or an avatar. Then just think of any good event in your life which produced inexplicable bliss or peace in your life. Then concentrate on that experience, what we experience at that moment, when we experienced a special kind of bliss, what did we experience? Just think on that and concentrate on this, and that could be a great kind of meditation that would help us in our spiritual life. So this is the penultimate alternative Patanjali has given. This is the seventh one. And the eighth one is the easiest, as I have said. Yatha avimata dhyana dva, or concentrating on anything you like. That is the idea. On anything you like. The idea is try to concentrate. That's all. Anything you like. Concentrate on a chair, that's okay. But concentrate, try to concentrate, and you will find the magic in it. If you say, no, I don't want to concentrate on anything, I will concentrate on a chair. Concentrate on that. Yatha abhimata dhyana dva. Whatever appeals to your mind, take it up as an object and concentrate on that. And it will help you, because the magic effect will be that you will discover that it is possible to concentrate, it is possible to control the mind. And when that encouragement comes, then we will be able to think, yes, then these methods prescribed by the great teachers for meditation, they would bear much more and better results for us if we really try once. So the last method is the easiest, but the longest. It takes long time. That is why it is the easiest. And the first one is the most difficult, but it does not take much time. Stibra samveganam asannaha. Panini, Patanjali has said immediately after that, those who try vigorously, for them it is very quick. They will achieve it very quickly. Therefore, the first one is the most difficult because it takes less time. I want to do it within a short time, so it is most difficult. And last one is the easiest, but it takes long time. But still, since we feel that we are not that gifted, that we will be able to try with the first one, take up the last one. And try. The idea is try. And then we will see that it is possible to concentrate. And that little concentration, whatever we get, concentrating on a chair or a table or anything, will help us to rethink about our decisions. And then to take up one of the earlier methods, whatever Patanjali has prescribed. So these are the few methods, like eight methods of meditation, taking up any kind of object and concentrating on it. The main idea is to fill the mind with good thoughts, so that there would be no space left for bad thoughts to raise its head. Therefore, the second aphorism in the Yoga Sutra as it tells that yoga citta vritti nirodha. Yoga means cessation of the modifications of the mind. That will be achieved by any of these methods when the mind is filled with one kind of thought. Therefore, in the Yoga Sutra, it has been said that pratyaya ekata anata dhyanam. What is meditation? When one kind of vritti continues, one kind of thought continues, and we fill the mind with one kind of thought, one kind of holy thought, then that is what is called dhyanam or meditation. Because it will not allow further modification of the mind, and then our purpose is achieved. We have purified the mind, and when the mind is purified, then the goal is very easy to attain. This is the idea, and with this I should end it here. If you have any question, then we can discuss, otherwise we say something.
In all of these methods, the central idea is to get mind away from the worldly thoughts and focus on the spirit within, the Ishvara within. And it is almost every method that you described, or what Patanjali said, there are a lot of challenges within. One, the degree of differences is a matter of judgment. And, you know, it may have something to do with the individual disposition. So somebody may be much more, may have the ability to concentrate on a table or a camera, number 8. Somebody may be able to sit down and do the meditation. And so it's not all 8 are applicable, maybe applicable to each individual. So in other words, in each one of them, the challenges that people face, you know, whatever it is, maybe I'm concentrating on this camera, the mind goes. How do you keep the focus? What in each of those methods?
Yeah.
They don't say, they say you focus on it, but don't say how.
Yeah, there. This is just I have mentioned this portion of the whole literature. There are methods and how to take care of these disturbances. These are also there, but the easiest and the only acceptable way that has been prescribed by Sri Krishna is that we have to continue to practice with that. This happens. Suppose today I go to learn yogasana and I am asked to practice halasana, suppose. And first day I won't be able to do it. Second day, third day, fourth day, even I have seen the teacher should press the feet that side. It will be a little painful. But slowly, slowly I will be able to do that. So the idea is practice. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grijyate. This is the method prescribed by Krishna. That is the only method. And the idea that we are not always gifted, or sometimes these difficulties come and this concentration breaks. Therefore, meditation is not a continuous concentration, but they say vichidya, vichidya. It breaks. And again I try, and then it matures into samadhi. So the only path is prescribed that we have to go on trying. And with each and every stride, we will see that the length of our concentration increases. And that is not theoretical, that is practical. And those who have done it, they can vouch for it. And the scriptures, they have, with ample assurance, they have said about the same thing. So idea is to continue with the practice, and we will surely succeed. Otherwise, there is no other alternative. We have to practice because this is my problem and I have to do. And if we look at our life itself, we will see how many varieties of exercises the doctor should prescribe after something, and we are able to do that, and some people are doing it lifelong. How is it possible? Because of one understanding that we have a clear concept of risk and reward ratio. What is the risk if I fail, and what is the reward if I do it? So, the scriptures try to explain things, the same thing also sometimes again and again, so that we are very much familiar with the risk and with the benefits. But the problem again is that we are so much assured of some benefits in this world that we don't understand the benefits which is beyond the scope of this phenomenal world. Risk we understand, but this reward concept is a little bit difficult, that we are not sure of it. But what is the proof of this surety? Proof is that all the benefactors of humanity, those who are real benefactors, they have said about it, and also people around the world in millions, they are following this path and taking up. Even the Upanishad says, yadichantu brahmacharyam charanti, taking up the most difficult path of a celibate's life. People are living. What for and why? What is the encouragement in their life? So all these things are giving us enough assurance that the benefit is really more than what we have experienced in this world. So that way.